It is time now for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty. Specializing in local real estate since 1982, every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. I am joined on the phone for this week's Chatham County Roundup by Bill Horner, the editor and publisher of the Chatham News and Record. Bill, good to have you back on the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Brighton. Thanks so much for having me. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing pretty well. And you guys at the newspaper have been working really hard, which is nothing new. But there have been some really big stories to come out of Chatham County in the last little bit. And one that you guys have been doing some excellent reporting on is some new details surrounding the cyber incident, as Chatham County has been calling it. But now I know it's a cybersecurity breach that happened and really disrupted the county government's communications programs and all that stuff. To lay a little bit of groundwork about what happened there, can you tell us about what we now know happened back in October that led to this series of events?
Sure. Well, the county found out on or about October 28th that they had had a ransomware attack. And so when that happened, the attack came through a phishing email, which infected the system. And we found out later, the county did not reveal this at first, but we found out later that it was indeed a ransomware attack, which the county did not pay. But as part of that system, the county lost the use of all of its computers, all of its internet access, the office phones, voicemail, really everything. The whole entire network was down. And it's just really remarkable that the work that Dan LaMontagne, who's the county manager, and the IT folks and the staff did to kind of get the system back up. I mean, they had, you think about losing all your computers, all your phones, no communication, you can't even do an interoffice intercom to somebody. You can't send somebody a text message or an email message. And one of the stories that we wrote along the way is the fact that there was really no loss of service for the county. There were some things in building and inspections that were impacted. And of course, the library system was down for a long time, but it was just a very significant breach into the system. But like I said, they did a really amazing job in kind of bringing the system back up. But as we were reporting on this, we just didn't know a whole lot about it. You know, the county, understandably, was not saying a whole lot. They pretty much were providing us and the rest of the media with occasional updates, saying that we are working with law enforcement, we're working to get the systems back up as soon as possible, and that's pretty much all that we knew at that point.
And it happened at such a strange time, too. It was right during early voting, going back to talking about not interrupting the service. It happened right in early voting, and because of the county generally staying mum about what was going on, and now that we know, as you mentioned, it was a ransomware attack, and the culprits were asking for money to be paid, which the county did not do, it was pretty remarkable that they were able to continue doing early voting, and the service, they adapted pretty quickly to not having, I mean, anything to communicate, which was pretty remarkable. But last night was the first time that the county government really did share a whole lot of information during an update to the county commissioners, and they also provided a little bit of timeline and updates on how restoring all of their systems have gone.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, the timeline. So we knew that the county commissioners had a meeting scheduled for February 15th. And so we tried to make contact with county to do some kind of an update story in last week's edition. And, you know, one of the frustrations for us is we've been, you know, working through the county's PIO, the public information officer, trying to get some information. And again, understandably, what Dan LaMontagne was saying was, you know, we're not going to tell you anything first. We're going to tell the commissioners first, and we certainly understood that. But I was able to have a really good conversation with Dan a week ago Friday to get some information about the system. And so we ended up publishing a story on Sunday, February the 7th. Now, as part of that interview with Dan, there's a number of things that he just would not say, which, again, is understandable. He would not confirm whether it was a ransom attack. He did not confirm just a lot of different types of details that he would later provide to the commissioners last night. But we did publish a story. We published it online on Sunday, February the 7th. And what was interesting is that immediately after we published that, I got an email message from a cybersecurity expert who claimed to have seen stolen files, files that were taken from the county server and posted online by Doppelpaymer, which is one of these, they call one of these criminal cyber actors who go out and do these ransomware attacks. And so I got these email messages, and we had some exchanges back and forth, and I was just trying to really ascertain whether or not this guy is for real and whether or not these files were for real. And so he actually, long story short, and won't get into the details, but we were actually able to access the files ourselves and take a look at the files. And what we saw, you know, was really, really troubling. There are a lot of very sensitive types of data files on there. Not only were there human resources and personnel records, but there were things that are a lot more troubling. And what we found out was, working with this cyber expert, and by the way, this cyber expert actually led us to another cyber expert, Brett Callow, who's with a company called EmptySoft. And their company works with corporations, governments, and medical facilities and universities to kind of prevent these types of attacks. But through this expert who reached out to us, we saw the files. We found out that the first of the files that were stolen were posted online sometime around November the 4th, which is about a week after the attack. And most of those files were pretty innocuous. A lot of those things that you find in those files were kind of public record. But there was another upload of files that happened later, sometime toward the end of January, 1st of February, that we were the first to report on that we found out about. And those are the files that are just troubling. I think we found out that there was about 14,000 files. The amount of space it takes on your computer is just tons of gigabytes. And Lars Dolder, who's a reporter, and Hannah McClellan, our other reporter, the three of us have been working on this story pretty much around the clock the last 2 weeks. Lars was able to actually upload all these files, the same files that Doppelpaymer uploaded onto their site. And we looked at them, and I'll tell you, Brian, it's just very disturbing. I mean, there were the criminal reports from child sexual abuse cases where you've got the name of the victim and the name of the perpetrator, things like that that are just very, very disturbing. So we reached out to the county really within about an hour of finding that out in an effort to get some information from the county about kind of the timing. That's that led to the other stories that you've seen that we've broken.
Yeah, speaking with Bill Horner, publisher and editor of the Chatham News and Record, and talking about that personal health information, personally identifiable information that you guys have. That's something that the county gave a few updates on to the commissioners last night, but your reporting has really kind of highlighted the dangers of what is now out there on the website that was taken from the county government servers. I know it's pretty early on in the, you know, realization of the impact of this, and in terms of the county government wise, everything in the beginning was okay, communications are shut down, but now we're back to being able to talk with the public and talk with each other. But this is stuff that could have some really long-term impacts. What are you hearing could be some of the immediate things that are going on in the community because of this potential very sensitive information being out there on the web?
Well, you know, obviously whenever people's data is posted online, including social security number and address, it's just problematic. And this is what these ransomware folks do. You know, I really want to point out that the county did not ask for this. Nobody that this happens to asked for it. They were the victim. The Chatham County employees, current and former employees, and some of the residents of Chatham County whose information was posted online, they're the victims here. And, you know, the problem is with these threat actors, when they do this, when they have these ransomwares, and by the way, the ransom, as we understood, that they asked for was 50 Bitcoin, which at that time, around the 1st of November, was worth about $708,000. So that's kind of what they're asking for. If you don't pay the ransom, they post these files. And what happens is, we found out from the experts that we spoke to, is one of the reasons they post these files is because other criminal elements will buy the files in order to get the people's personal information, or in order to apply for credit cards and do other types of identity theft that can really impact people, particularly financial. So that's the real problem here. The timeline that we found out last night is that the county found out that the files were posted the same time we did. I don't know if they found out from us. Again, we alerted the county as soon as we were able to ascertain that they were indeed Chatham County files. I immediately contacted the county's public information officer, Kara Dudley, asking her for a chance to talk to Dan LaMontagne. I did not hear back. I emailed Dan and then got a call from him the next morning. That was a week ago today. And we went back and forth. And of course, that led to the story that we published last week. But again, it's the data that's out there can cause some real problems for the people for whom the data was posted, just because of all the information. It's just like, if you, again, your social security number, your address, driver's license number, things like that, people can do a lot with that.
We're speaking with Bill Horner, the publisher and editor of Chatham News and Record. ChathamNewsRecord.com is the website to go to for all of the reporting that they have done on this pretty big story from the Chatham County government about the cybersecurity breach. And we are certain to continue to get a lot of news and information about that story in the coming weeks and months. Bill, we got to begin to wrap up our conversation. Anything else that your paper is working on or involved with that you want to highlight here?
Well, yeah, just a lot. I mean, it seems like the last 4 or 5 weeks, I mean, you and I have talked, there's just so much news happening and so much really great reporting that our folks have done. And Victor Hensley, who's our new sports editor, is just doing a fantastic job. And I'm really excited this week about Chatham 411, which is a new magazine. It's actually not brand new, but the 2021 edition of Chatham 411 comes out in the paper this week. So if you're a subscriber, you're buying a single copy, you'll have that. And this is, a publication that we do in conjunction with Chip Pate, who's from Pittsburgh. I've worked with Chip for a long time. Very talented writer, designer, photographer. But this is designed to be a community almanac. We kind of bill it as an essential guide to community life in Chatham County. So it has an at-a-glance listing, kind of a compendium, an almanac type information for things like arts, business, education, government, services, events, community, recreation, wellness, and a whole lot more. So it's a 10 by 10 publication, so it's a great size to be able to keep handy as a reference guide. And again, it's going to be in your paper this week. And I just encourage everybody to check it out. You know, we're so used to going to Google to try to find things, and I know we've all gotten good at it on our phones. But sometimes searching for key information locally can be hard to pinpoint. Critical local information is hard. This publication, I guarantee you, will tell you so much of what you need to know, whether you're new to Chatham County or whether you've lived here a long time. It's a great resource for you. And we did this publication. We produced it in a partnership with the Chatham EDC, the Economic Development Corporation. Our friends there worked hard with us on this, and we're very, very proud of it.
Once again, that'll be in this week's edition of the Chatham News and Record, and their website is chathamnewsrecord.com. Bill Horner, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of the great reporting you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.